Luke chapter 17, a little different vein tonight than this morning. It's all from the Bible, so I guess it'll be all right for me. Luke 17, verse 22. Unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, even until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. You can be seated. Thank you for standing while I read God's Word. I want to preach tonight out of verse number 32, where Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now, I never hear preaching or do any preaching about Lot or Abraham or Sodom and Gomorrah that I don't think of the message my granddaddy preached in 1990, I believe it was, on Daddy's drunk and Mama's looking back, concerning Lot in the mountain drunk while Mama stood as a pillar of salt looking back across Sodom and Gomorrah. And tonight I wouldn't even dare to try to equal the message that he preached on that, but I want to share with you a little bit of thought about this tonight. The Lord is prophesying in chapter 17 of Luke concerning the dreadful day of the Lord. He speaks not of the day of His crucifixion, but of the day of His glory. And He said, that day will come, but it will not come until first I have suffered from this generation. And then it will come later in another day when it comes to a place where the days are like they were in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. He describes at this point in the Scriptures the period just prior to the rapture of the church. You'll notice that down in verses 33, he begins to talk about the man trying to save his life. And then verse number 34, he tells that night when the rapture takes place, said there'll be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Said there'll be two women grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One taken and the other left. He is describing the night of the rapture, the day and time of the rapture. Somebody said, how do you know it's going to be night? Because it's night somewhere all the time. It's always night. You notice he said there'd be two of them in bed, there'd be two of them at the field, there'd be two of them grinding meal. In other words, people's going to be going about their business and everyday lives just like nothing was taking place. And there won't be some great shaking, some stars in the heavens showing signs. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and caught away, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so the Lord is describing the time in these verses where we read just prior to the rapture. I've had people say that this was during the tribulation period, but my friend, there's not a rapture during the tribulation period, but there's a rapture just after the verses he spoke of here. So he's speaking of the period just prior to the rapture. And he said that this day would be comparable to the day of that of the day of Noah and of the day of Lot. Notice the examples that he uses here are days just prior to the days of the expression of the judgment of God. Concerning the trouble of this day, the Lord gives us a piece of advice, however. In verse number 32, he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. It is imperative that we remember what has happened in those days of similitude, much like our own, that we may know what to do and when to do it and what not to do and when not to do it in this day that we're living in. Amen. And now, if we're going to realize and we're going to remember and try to figure out what day that the Lord Jesus is talking about, we've got to understand some things about the day of Lot. And so I want to give you, by way of introduction, a couple of things about the day of Lot. And then I want to give you some instructions concerning remembering Lot's wife. First, I want you to notice now, if you want to flip back with me, the majority of the rest of the message will be preached during the story and lifetime of Lot and Abraham. Most of it out of chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. And that's where we'll be preaching most of the remainder of the sermon from. So if you want to go ahead and flip over there, I'll say first of all, friend, though, concerning Lot's day, we see a division in his day. We see Lot and Abraham standing on the mountainside. Abraham was Lot's uncle, and they had had a great relationship. Matter of fact, when Lot left the land of Ur, he took with him Lot. Or when Abraham left the land of Ur, he took with him Lot, his nephew, the Bible said, and he treated him much like he would have his own son. But my friend, the day and time came when Lot got too big for his britches, and he developed a great amount of wealth himself, and his herdsmen began fighting against Abraham's herdsmen, and they warred one against another, and he comes to Abraham, and Abraham comes to him, and he said, "Let there not be trouble against us, for we are brothers." We be brothers, he said, and now that's his nephew, that's his Lot's uncle, my friend, and they're not brothers, but Abraham says we're brothers. He spoke, of course, of the spiritual relationship between the two. And he said, "Let there not be trouble amongst us and between us, for we are brothers." And Lot said, "I'll tell you what the best thing we can do is, you go your way and I'll go my way." And Abraham said, "Well, if that's the way it's got to be, you choose whatever you want and I'll just take whatever's left over." And Lot cast his eyes out there across the plains of Sodom and saw that they were well watered. And he said, "I'll take these land." And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. The division of the day is that this up and comer with a large amount of pride and a small amount of brains was fighting against the man of God and had set himself in opposition to God's man. He was in opposition to old Abraham. I'll say we're surely qualified as of being in the days of Lot. If that's the qualifications for today, there's never been a day when there's more division amongst God's people and between God's men and God's people than the day we're living in right now. And most folks has gotten more respect today for the man of God than they want to do the television and air conditioner repair man. And I'm going to tell you, God has established an office in the church and it's His preacher men and it's His pastors, and they are the under shepherd. He's a good shepherd, and He's put them here to lead the flock. Amen. And the pastor's job's not to run the church. It's just to make sure nobody else don't run the church. Amen. And God put them here, and they're worthy of double honor. And we're living in a day where folks will spit in His face and laugh and mock Him for preaching. They'll make fun of ways, slaps and songs. I'll tell you, the men that I honor and the men that I respect in this world, devil sweating, scoping, shouting, that preacher man that's delivered unto me the gospel and told me the truth about my soul. Yes, we're living in the days like in the days of Lot. For there is division amongst the people of God. Amen. The division of the day. Notice then also, we're qualifying our day now before we can say for sure that we must take Jesus' advice and remember Lot's wife. Qualifying our day. Are we in those days that Jesus spoke of just prior to the rapture? My friend, He said it'd be a day like in the days of Lot. The division of Lot's day. But notice the declarations of Lot's day. The day of Lot was an evil day. Jesus declared the corruption of the day. In chapter 17, He had nothing to say that was bragging on Lot or anything that had to do with the situation surrounding Lot's circumstances. had nothing good to say about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had no complimentary word to cast out there concerning the days of Lot. It's much the way he spoke in the Word of God concerning Ahab. The Bible said that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than any king that ever came before him. I'm telling you, this generation we're living in right now in the year 2001 is a doing more to provoke the Lord God of heaven to anger than any generation that has ever come before us in the history of mankind. Yes, we're living the days of Lot. As surely the days are evil. This is a wicked age. There has been a great falling away. And without God's sin revival, we are in for trouble. Looking a lot like Lot's day, isn't it? Well, he said, in the days, as it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we do know, my friend, that we're nearing the days of the rapture for our days like Lot's day. In Lot's day, there was a division. In Lot's day, we find declaration. And then we find the difference in Lot's day. How don't you notice something? Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. But if you notice in Lot's day, he says pretty much the same thing. He said they were eating and they were drinking. And he said they were planting and they were sowing and they were reaping and they were building. But nowhere does he say anything about marrying or giving in marriage. Here in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Down there in Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, there was no marrying and giving in marriage. It was just a shack up here and a fornicate there and a living in adultery here and there. I'm telling you, surely we're not matching up to the days of Noah. We're matching up to the days of Lot. We're living in a day where the holy sanctuary of marriage has been profaned by the family planners and so-called family planners and the things of this world. Our society's yoked up and held on to the beliefs of cohabitation, and we've accepted adultery as a normal thing. But it's still sin. And it's shacking up still sin. I don't care if a church down the road lets them shack up, join in membership, singing the choir, pastor of the church. It's still sin. It's still wrong. It still sins. Fornication still sin. Adultery still sin. I'll tell you, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers shall be judged. And it's still true in 2001. The difference of Lot's day from Noah's day. In Lot's day, nobody got married. They just had a free love movement. Oh, you'll faint free love when your body's racked full of diseases there's no cure for. You're dying and on your way to hell of a reprobate mind. Don't even know that God's dealing with you. Wouldn't know it if He did walk by you. My friend, there's no hope and no way for you to even get saved. You'll faint free love then. Well, this morning we went to the highest heaven. I guess tonight we're going to the lowest hell. The day that we're living in. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom person. Matter of fact, I believe there's a brighter day coming. That's right. But the day we're living in is a mess. And if you don't believe this world and this society and even this religious church society is in a mess, you're either blind or you're in a mess yourself. I'm going to tell you, we are living in a societal mess. A sin-sick, sex-soaked society that is condemned and damned without hope unless Jesus turns this thing all the way around. Because we are in a mess. We're in a mess. Our young people are in a mess. Our families and our homes are in a mess. It's just like the days of Lot. There is no sanctity of marriage anymore. When one does marry, 6 months later, they're just liable to get rid of that one and go buy them a new one, just like they're going to purchase a new car. Hey, listen, that wife and that husband of yours is a more valuable commodity than a brand new car or something of that nature. It's not like changing shoes to change partners in marriage. When you stand before God and you stand before the church and the man of God, I don't care if it's in a courthouse and you vow till death do us part,
God. You have made a lifetime contract. And my friend, God's law does not teach one a partner at a time, but one partner, one man for one woman for one lifetime. And God has never approved a divorce. He will never approve a divorce. It has always been against the Bible, and it will always be against the Bible, for God hateth the putting away. According to Malachi chapter number 2, that's what the Word says. And it said, thou hast dealt treacherously with thy first wife, yet she is still thy companion. He had signed a divorce to her, and he said, you're still married to her, because what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And he that putteth away his wife and marrieth another commits adultery, is what God's book says. Now that is not preached much anymore, but God's book still says it. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I done got divorced and remarried. What am I going to do now? Ain't some preacher, some moss back hypocrite will say somewhere or another, you need to just divorce the one you got now and go back to the first one you had. That won't fix the problem. Divorce is sin. And so that doesn't fix it. You've got a broken ship, and you've taken an egg and broke the sucker open, and you can't put it back in the shell now. But under God, you ought to be my greatest advocate for preaching what I'm preaching here tonight. Because if you've ever been down the halls of a divorce court, if you got any thought about you at all, you would to God that nobody ever had to experience that kind of pain and trouble in their families. Amen. Some of you youngins here tonight, if they're sitting, I'm fixing and waiting to get married. I'll tell you, when you get married, it's till death do it part if it kills you. I mean, you're sad. It's one man for one woman for one lifetime. God set it up that way. And man ought to forsake father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they become one flesh. And God anoints that matrimony. And God anoints that union, my friend. And you can create the institution amongst yourselves that's most pleasing to God. And that is a Christian family.
Didn't have families much during Lot's day. Had two mommies. And Johnny had two daddies. Amen. You hear what I'm preaching? We are living in a day just like that of Lot's. The difference in Lot's day, there was no marriage. And finally, my friend, the destruction of Lot's day, the Bible said, verse 29, when Jesus spoke the same day that Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that same day that God sent judgment upon it. Oh, you better know. I've heard some folks say, well, I'll just wait till after the church is raptured and I'll have 7 years to get right with God. You better know that the judgment of God and the wrath of God is coming upon this world the same day the church is raptured. Now listen, I will not argue with you about a 7-year tribulation and a 1,000-year reign and all that jazz. And I've got very strong beliefs and feelings on it. And I'm not a preaching that there won't be a 7-year tribulation. But I will promise you, if you are on the earth for the tribulation, you'll not be sitting around just waiting for the 7 years to end where you can get right with God the day before this thing shuts down. Judgment will begin the day the church is taken out. God will not spare this world. He didn't spare the world in the days of Noah. He didn't spare the world in Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spare the Israelites that turned against Him in the wilderness. And He will not spare that society any more than He spared any of those. The destruction of Lot's day. God sent fire. Now, do you think we're fitting the description pretty good? Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah, as it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days just before the rapture. Are we there? According to God's Bible, we're there. I'm telling you, we are exactly there. We are on the threshold of the rapture, my friend, and to God be the glory. Jesus gives all of them a piece of advice. He says, if that day comes and you're standing on the rooftop and the Lord's coming to take you away, don't you think that this world is more important to you than going to heaven is? Don't go down the housetop to get anything. Don't do like Lot's wife and look back. But go with the Lord, for going home with Him is more important than anything in the whole world. And He gives us some advice. He gives us this piece of advice. Remember Lot's wife. Forget not the lessons of the past. Remember
Lot's wife. Genesis 19, where Lot's in Sodom and Gomorrah with his family, the Bible says, and that this is what happens, my friend. They are taken over in that day. They're about to be taken over by the judgment of God. And the fire and brimstone of the Lord, and God sends two angels down there to bring Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. When he does, the men of the city goes crazy. They bang on the door, beg Lot to send the men out that they might have their way with them, that they might know them in the same way that Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son and called him Cain, that they might know them. And the Bible said that Lot offered unto the men of the city his daughters, which had never known a man. And then they told him, said, destruction's coming, the Bible says. And so Lot then and his family were raptured out and taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They went up upon a mountain somewhere, and apparently his wife had loved the things that were there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And she turns around and to look back, and she's turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his daughters go up upon a mountain, hide themselves in a cave, and apparently some of them had brought a bottle of liquor with them out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of the daughters of Lot looked at the other and said, see, I have wine. Let's get daddy drunk tonight, and I'll lay with him and bear a son, and we'll get him drunk tomorrow night, and you can lay with him and bear a son. And Lot got drunk, committed incest, and two boys were born, Moab and Benami, my friend. And Moab was the son, was the father of Moabites unto this day, and Benami was the father of the Ammonites unto this day. And my friend, we find them just like a priest, with daddy drunk and mama looking back. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I want you to remember three things tonight. Three things when you're looking back on Lot's wife. First of all, I want you to remember the prevalent sins in that city. The prevalent sins in that city. The prevalent sins in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah were sexual sins. That is where our term sodomy comes from. They were perverse, sick, twisted people in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, I will say every sodomite that has ever lived or ever will is perverted, sick, and twisted. It's wrong, it's sin, it's ungodly. And the Bible said it makes the earth vomit. It sickens God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, they are worthy of death. That's what God's book says. It says in God's Bible that He's turned them to a reprobate of mind to do what they will, perverting of the disaster in the flesh, one with another. And he said they'd be turned to a reprobate of mind, never to know the love and grace of God. I'm saying, you saw it in these perverse, it's always been perverse, it always shall be perverse. And the prevalent sin of Lot's day were sins of sexuality. Oh, dear God. Let me tell you something about these sins of sexuality. In Lot's day, they were practiced publicly. Publicly. Verse number 5, chapter 19, if you're old and open, when the angels come to see Lot down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, verse number 5, what happens? The Bible said they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They were not trying to hide their sodomy behind closed doors. They had stepped out of the closet, so to speak, and were parading their sins publicly down through the city streets. Stepping out of the closet. Only thing I ever known of to come out of closets, rats and roaches. And my mom and dad told me to stomp and kill them. Amen. And here they were coming out of the closet and desired for Lot to bring out to them in the city streets these two angels of God, that they might perversely know them and commit unspeakable acts in the middle of the city street. Son, I'm telling you, we're living in that day where they'll parade down Main Street and they'll wave their banner gay and proud. And I'm going to tell you, God in heaven is sick of this sin. And we're living in a day, friend, when we need to remember Lot's wife and remember Lot's day and remember God's judgment and see our similitude to Sodom and Gomorrah and understand that it's not a simple fad or something that'll pass, my friend. It's corruption, wickedness, abomination, and it's putting this whole nation, including me and my children, and you and your children, under the judgment of God. All of us under the judgment of God. Practiced publicly. This passage of Scripture sounds a little bit like Judges 19, doesn't it? You remember when we were studying Sunday school a few months ago? where the man, the Levite, had the concubine that played the whore against him. Went down to her father's house and lived there 4 whole months. And the Bible said while she was there, she played the whore against her husband. That's what the Bible said. He went down there together. It took him 2 or 3 days for her to get her to leave Papa's house. But when he finally got her to leave Papa's house, going back to the northern end of Israel, he's about halfway through his journey, and he stops one night to spend the night in Gibeah. While he's there, the old man takes him into his home, feeds him, and gives him provender, the Bible says. And while he's there, the men of the city come and beat upon the door and say, "Send out to us the man that has come into thee this night, that we may know him." And the man of the house says, "Do not this wicked thing. That says, I have a daughter. Take her. This man has a concubine. Take her. Does that not sound like Lot, my friend?" And the Bible said they took the man's concubine and they used and abused her all night long. And the next morning, she was found laying palms down flat on her face, my friend. Right there on the step, right on the steps of this man, this traveler, this Levite. And he came out and said, "Up, let us be going." And she moved not. And when he moved her, she was dead. He tossed her upon his own beast. He took her back to his hometown. And the Bible said while when he got to his hometown, he took a knife and cut her in 12 pieces and mailed one piece of her body to every one of the tribes of Israel, along with a message saying, "This is what happens when you play the whore against your husband, and this is what happens when a city gets full of the devil like Gibeah." I'm going to tell you, my friend, we're living in the same type day where people have no scruples. They have no morals. They have no respect for my children or yours. And they'll take and rape our weapons and kidnap our children and abuse them, my friend, and send them back in body bags and then find them dug in holes all over this nation, friend. And then they go to some courtroom and our twisted society will give them probation or let them off because of tampered evidence. All the while, God's judgment pulling hard in His wrath. And we are under the judgment of God. Meanwhile, we support pansies have to take office that have no guts and gumption about them. We'll not toughen up on crime and to make excuses for them. I'm telling you, when you go to the polls and vote for some yahoo liberal, that'll say you ought to do away with the death penalty. And God's Word teaching it, my friend, and Christian people are voting for it. And we're contributing to the decline of this day. Our prevalent sins have been stamped as okay by this church world, and because of it, we're living in a day like unto that a lot. You hear what I'm preaching? Not trying to preach mean, I'm just preaching right. It's what God's book teaches us. What sins of the day, they were practiced publicly. They were promoted publicly. Notice no man in town rebuked them. As a matter of fact, Lot even sat at the city gates when the two angels came down there in verse 1. Says he was sitting at the city gate. He just joined right in, you know. Preacher, I realize what's going on is not right, you know, but it's just not worth it to say anything about it. Any time you ever heard that said? Oh, it's not that bad, and I know your kids is going to do it anyway, so you might as well help make it safe, and they might as well be with you when they do it. And I'm going to tell you something. You let your daughter's boyfriend or your son's girlfriend come to your house and spend the night with your family. You're crazy. You haven't got enough sense how to get in out of the rain if you let something like that happen. We've allowed things to go under our roof that ought not to go on in the very bellies of hell, my friend. And we've wondered why our children are in the mess they're in, and we're living in the days of Lot because we have kowtowed to every sin and wickedness that's known unto man, and we've been too yeller, and the man of God's been too chicken to stand and preach against it. I'll preach, you preach in the world. I'm preaching what saved folks is doing. I'm talking about people in church, my friend. You realize how many young people in church behaves in the same manner on Friday nights as what those people that have never been to church in their lives do? You realize how many young people in the house of God on Friday night here's a sitting somewhere in a grocery store parking lot emptying out a six-pack of beer and committing fornication and adultery? I'm telling you, it'd shock you knew the behavior of our young people that come to churches in this day and age. And the men of God won't say nothing about it. When they do, Mom and Dad will get mad about it. If you get mad at a preacher for preaching
to your children to keep them pure. I wonder if you've got any gumption that the Lord gives you. You ought to say hallelujah for a man of God that'll preach to my children and tell them the truth.
Prevalent sins a lot today. They were practiced publicly. They were promoted publicly. They were put on the television screens. Blasted through living rooms with 40 acres of hell called HBO. We are living in Lot's day. They were not only practiced and promoted publicly, but these prevalent sins were pardoned publicly. Others not only condoned it, they defended it when someone else attacked and railed against it. Oh, it's okay. It's not hurting anybody. It's their own preference. It's their own lifestyle. It's not bothering anybody with them, all the while corrupting and perverting our entire society. Let's see. As you notice, and I know you ain't going to shout, so I'm going to move on. Notice the powerless saints of the day. Lot had a powerless testimony. The Bible said in verse number 1 that Lot sat in the gate. Yet it made no difference in the lifestyle of the people that he was around. Lot was supposed to be someone that knew the Lord, had come from a great heritage, knew something about God, knew something about the Bible, walked with Abraham all these years, and yet he sat in the city gate, and Sodom and Gomorrah was just as perverse and worse when he left than it was when he came. You know why? He had a powerless testimony. In our day and age today, the work sites where you work, the place where you are on a daily basis, it ought to change because of your presence. You ought to make an impact on the people you're around. If it's in the home, if it's on the work side, if it's in the schools, if it's at the PTA meetings, wherever you are, your testimony ought to make an impact. Our society today doesn't have any respect for the people of God, and we have no testimony because our friend of the wicked lifestyles God's people's led. No doubt Aaron Law himself had been involved in some sins and lost his testimony before the people. He had no impact on their lifestyles. Oh, you know who it's up to change this rotten, low-down mess we're living in? My friend, it will not be George W. Bush or a Republican Congress. It'll not be the White House, and it'll not be the courthouses. It'll be the people from God's house working in my house, out at your houses, in our neighbor's house, and the schoolhouse, my friend. It'll be the grassroots efforts of the people of God with a testimony of the anointing of God on their life. That'll change this whole world we're living in. My friend, it can happen, and it will happen if we've got a testimony. Had a powerless testimony. I'll say had a powerless stand. Verse number 8, the Bible said whenever these men were banging on the door asking for the two angels, he said, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your heart or in your eyes. Only these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, I'll just be real honest with you. I'm carnal if you want to. I'll be real, real honest with you. These men are angels. They're who they are. They're coming in my house. Somebody's banging on the door. I might want to stand for what's right, but I am not at saving them at the expense of my little girl. You better know it's right. God did not charge me with the salvation of the whole world, but He did charge me with the direction of that little girl right there. You better know that I will not sacrifice my child and what God has given me the responsibility of in order to try to salvage somebody else. You know what we've done? We've taken our kids and we've put them in the rottenest, low-downest situations you've ever seen in your life. And I've heard folks say, well, if you take them out of the public schools, then they won't be a presence of God in the schools. I'll do my best to evangelize the world, but I'm not putting my little girl on a Philistine bus and sending her down to an Egyptian school to learn right and worldly ways and still not be exposed to that, my friend. The world's not my responsibility, but inner grace is my responsibility. And your child is yours, my friend. And you're going to stand before God in judgment one day for giving all you've got to your child. And I'm wondering which one's going to be more important to you. That bass boat, my friend, or a new Cadillac. Amen. Or as many folks I've seen a pack of cigarettes for Copenhagen a day. Or getting their young ones out of corruption, filth, ungodliness, and idolatry. I cannot tell you what the folks who've been church members and say they're Christians, and they say they cannot afford to send their kids to a Christian school, and yet they'll sit there and puff 3 packs of Marlboros a day. Quit sucking on them cigarettes. You could buy a new house, send your kids to school, drive a Cadillac too. Amen. In that day, we see his perversity, his powerless stand. I am not sacrificing my family to try to salvage some stranger. I'm sorry. You think that's carnal if you want to. You think of me whenever you please about that. My responsibility primarily is to that wife and little girl. Amen. And the reason why we're in the mess today that we are in is because men of God, a lot of them, that's even had good motives and had good desires, have forsaken their families and they've tried to win the world while their own kids are dying and going to hell. That little girl and that wife comes first, my friend. And I love you and my concerns for my church. And they sacrifice a good many things so I can do what I believe God wants me to do at the church. But their priority has got to come first in the land, friend. And old Lot, his stand was perilous. I'll tell you something else, his witness was perilous. He went out and tried to witness to his son-in-laws in verse 14 when he finally decided he was going to leave. They wouldn't even listen to him. The Bible said Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which were married, his daughters. Now, he just said his daughters had never known a man. And they're married. That ought to tell you all you need to know about the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said he went to them and told them that the wrath of God was about to come, but that they mocked him. The Bible said they mocked him and laughed at him. They said, "Man, last night you was down here getting drunk with us. Last night you were running around sinning with us. And now all of a sudden you done got religion. Oh, this God, you're drunk, Lot. Get out of here." My friend, you lose your testimony, you lose all the witness you got dabbling and playing in sin. Amen. Oh, my brother and my family thinks I'm better than them, so what I'll do to fix that, I'll sit down and drink a beer with him, then he'll know that I ain't no better than him. Yeah, and you'll never win him like that.
Right.
Perilous sins, or perilous saints, prevalent sins. Notice then finally tonight, we're remembering Lot's wife. Won't you notice a pretending spouse? A pretending spouse. She pretended to have the desire to be rescued out of Sodom, just like Lot did. But when push came to shove and God rained fire and brimstone, her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah, and she turned around with a desire to go back and have things just like they were. A lot of folks I have seen, a lot of women, especially, and I ain't going to pick it on you women tonight, I've just seen more of it. That's why I would say, "I want my husband to get saved." Oh, God, and they'll come to altar and they'll fall. Oh, God, save my husband. Husband gets saved and all of a sudden he gets too saved. He's wanting to get rid of his sins and get rid of her sins, and he's wanting to clean the house out, and they'll say, "Preacher, he's just turned into a fanatic. He's just gone slam crazy. He's overboard with this thing." They pretended that they wanted to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in reality, they loved it more than he did. Can't you see old Lot's wife sitting at the kitchen table when them men, them angels comes by? "Oh, preacher, I'm so glad to see you. My husband needs to get right with God." I always wonder about these women always telling you how their husband needs to get right with God. Amen. Most of them ain't right with God themselves, and they're busy judging him, trying to find faults in him. And they need to get right with God. Amen. You get right with God yourself, you'll become a witness to him or to her. Whoever your spouse is, they'll see an impact in you. And then God can give you a burden that'll turn your family upside down. I'm not saying just because your husband or your wife's not right with God don't mean you're saved or that you're not right with God. But I'm saying I've seen a lot of hypocrisy in that. I've seen a lot of wives and husbands pray, "Oh, God, save my husband, save my wife." Come Sunday morning, my friend, they're down there at the lake with them. Instead of being at the house of God, that's a great witness, ain't it? Pretending spouse. Well, she pretended to have the same desire, but when the push came to shove, she turned to look back or go back. When we look back and remember Lot's wife, we see her missing from some important parts and some important scenes in Lot's story. I've got a question. Where was she? Was she, my friend, when Lot entertained the angels? I find no reference to his wife anywhere in that story. Where was she, my friend, when Lot entertained the angels? Where was she when Lot spoke to the sinners at the door? Why was she not telling Lot, "You ain't offering my daughters to them"? We're not a-going that route. We find her taking no stand here. A pretending spouse, you hear what I'm preaching tonight. Where was she when Lot entertained the angels? Where was she when he talked to the sinners at the door? Where was she when Lot dealt with her son-in-laws? Why didn't she go with him to talk to these boys and warn them of the impending wrath to come? Where was she, my friend, when Lot cooked the angels something to eat? At chapter 19 of Genesis, the Bible said Lot prepared them some food. I would tell you, a submissive, Holy Ghost filled wife would have never stood for her husband to cook him these men some food and her not participating in it. Amen. Where was she, friend, when Lot needed her in her lifetime? I'll tell you where she was. Tell you where she was. She was enjoying Sodom and Gomorrah. When she left, she said, "If I can't live in Sodom and Gomorrah, at least I can turn around and look at it." Oh, there's been a lot of folks saved by the grace of God out of sin. Somewhere on down their journey while they're traveling towards the mountain of grace, towards the mountain of the anointing, of the center of God's will, His Holy Ghost and filling. Somewhere along the way, said, "I know I can't live in Sodom and Gomorrah, but I sure would like to just look at it." You know what they do? They flip on HBO and they watch the nasty videos and they listen to rock and roll music and they let their eyes wander when that little hussy comes wiggling by them on the job site. And they peer right down through the avenues of Main Street in Sodom and Gomorrah. And my friend, God is nowhere within 1,000 miles of that. A pretending spouse. Let me give you this in conclusion. I'm done tonight. And I know some of you are thinking, hallelujah. The hypocrisy of Lot's wife and the powerlessness of Lot's wife sent Lot's family into wickedness and condemnation. These girls were raised in Sodom and Gomorrah, raised in the mountain of God with Abraham. But Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. I've preached it before. Lot looked, but he did not see. The Bible said he looked across the plains and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But little did he know, and he could not see himself. When he left Abraham, Lot would have never said, "I'll be in a mountain someday getting drunk, committing fornication, and a venomous adultery with my own daughter." He would have never said that. But it happened. He looked, but he did not see. Their two daughters proved themselves to be of a whorish nature. Lot showed himself to be of a drunken nature. Son of incest, Moab and Benami proved themselves to be a thorn in the side to God's people for hundreds of years. What's the message from Jesus tonight in verse number 32? Remember Lot's wife. Remember and look back and long to go to Sodom. She longed to go back to Sodom. I'm telling you, my friends, tonight's the time to remember the lessons of Lot's wife. Turn from that life. Turn from that way of thinking. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, well, everybody we got here tonight in the house of God's right with God. Everybody here might even be saved. I don't know. But I promise you, you're not so super spiritual, not a one of us, that somewhere along the line the devil doesn't tempt you to look back towards Sodom. I don't care how long you've been saved or what else you've faced in life. But the time is now to put your hands to the plow and not look back. For the man that putteth his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Be genuine for God, lest the judgment fall on you." What did Jesus say? Remember Lot's wife. I'm done preaching. You can come with a song. I believe I've done what the Lord wants me to do tonight. Remember Lot's wife. I wonder in our day. Now listen, most every one of the folks in this world, most of the folks in this world knows a few little Bible stories. I wonder how many folks, if you asked them, would remember Lot's wife. You know what we need to do tonight? We don't need to be, hey listen, this mixed up world we're in don't need us stumbling around all the time, our head in the clouds, thinking everything's going to get better, because it ain't going to get better as long as we're doing that. It needs us with our hands in the hold of the plow, plowing the dirt, tilling the ground, and sowing the seeds of the gospel. For this Sodom and Gomorrah we're living in, my friend, is the biggest mess this world has ever seen. And it will require the judgment of God like this world's never seen. And it's beginning to look a lot like Lot's day. And he said that would be the day just before the rapture. You know what our goal ought to be? You know what our goal ought to be at this point?